The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Mick Norton to look ahead to the best of the action on Thursday. Got three races to look at from Hamilton on Thursday evening. Decent card at Hamilton as ever, and hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two. First things first, how are you, Mr. Norton?
Yeah, it's good, thank you, Alex.
Good to hear. You've been in the studio quite a bit, actually, haven't you,
the last few days? Yes, as well as doing 4 days at the Welcome to Yorkshire Ebo Festival, I seem to have been on the go a bit.
You'll have earned a break.
I've actually got a week off.
It's all right for some, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't actually mean that.
Just how it worked out. I didn't book a week off or anything like that. It's just how it's worked out. I'm not until Thursday and I think Saturday next week.
Yeah, so it's not too bad.
Yeah.
We'll start by just going over a few bits and pieces. We'll actually start with the front of the Racing Post, which is Horsemen Object to Newcastle Exemption. This is something that I think you may have touched on an earlier podcast. We've certainly mentioned it before in passing.
Yeah, I did hear on the grapevine that it wasn't a done deal that Newcastle was going to get the go-ahead with its all-weather track, controversial, being a straight mile.
Mm.
And I think there's a lot of unease about the principle of it.
I think there's just a few sort of... It's almost, breaking rules makes it sound like it's something illegal, but it's. I think that you have to have two races.
Yes.
That the aggregate has to be over, I think it's 2.5 miles.
Yeah.
And of course, that wouldn't happen if they've only got the straight mile.
There must be two races of a mile or upwards of the minimum aggregate distance of 2.5 miles.
Which would mean
either a mile race and a mile and a half race, or 2.25 miles.
Yeah. Which is something that you don't give much thought to normally,
but
when it becomes an issue, obviously it is an issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know they allowed Warwick to do that, but that was a one-off because it was Warwick's last flat fixture, whereas this is going to be an ongoing thing. And I think that they're being a little bit less than honest with themselves, citing Warwick as a precedent, because it wasn't a precedent at all.
No,
it's a final fixture.
And it was also a sort of a means to an end in the end for Warwick.
Of course it was.
It was all they could do.
Absolutely. And whereas this is going to be Newcastle's... raison d'etre, as it were, and that's all they're going to have. So, they're going to have to break the rules every time they race, basically.
Yeah.
Or break the code, or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
So, it's far from a done deal, Newcastle.
Yes, true. And also, we saw some more controversy on Bank Holiday Monday at Epsom, where the 5 furlong sprint went the way of Humidor, but didn't. Race was called void. I know you've got some pretty strong views on this, Mick. I mean, not least because I believe you tipped the winner, didn't you?
I did, yeah. But that's by the by. It's a bad call by the starter. I think he should have just let it go in those conditions. And you cannot pull those sprinters up in the best, in a perfect way. On that fast flat out 5 downhill at Epsom, Paul Hannigan said he couldn't have pulled his up if he'd wanted to.
Well, even if they had acknowledged the flag and seen it, there was every chance that they'd have pulled four furlongs, 3 furlongs. You know, they'd have gone most of the distance anyway.
It would have made a mockery of it anyway. It was a bad call by the starter. I know it's a split second thing, but he should have just let it go. In those conditions, nobody would have complained. And Taurus Twins is notorious for doing it anyway. He always does that.
Fast starter.
Absolutely. It didn't make a scrap of difference to the result. And the starter's made a bad call, and they're all pulling rank behind him, and they won't admit that he's made a bad call. Instead of just turning a blind eye to it, whatever it was, we're talking about fractions of a second. A nice flag and whistle job. I mean, if you're going to have a whistle, you want a klaxon, don't you? Not a whistle. You want a klaxon that there's no dispute about.
Mm.
A whistle. It might be somebody whistling their dog, you know, while the jockey's going to start pulling up. It beggars belief in a modern...
It seems quite old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned isn't the word I had in mind. It's certainly more appropriate than
I think mine's more broadcast-friendly, yes, Mick. Let's exactly. Put it that way.
Yeah.
But thankfully, you know, the BHA have come out and they're not suspending any jockeys off the back of it, which you often see in scenarios like that. It is the jockeys that get the blame.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Hannigan admits he saw the recall flag man, but he was on the outside. You can understand why the jockeys on the inner. The conditions were horrible.
Mm.
But they would have all heard a klaxon. Not that they would have been able to do anything about it, which is the point I'm trying to make. It was just a bad split-second call by the starter. I must admit I'd never heard of James Stenning.
Mm.
How long he's been starting, I don't know. Bank holiday, might have been a part-time starter, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was just a poor call.
Mm. OK, well, hopefully we won't have any poor calls at Hamilton on Thursday evening. We're going to look at three races there, and we'll start with the 550, which is a Hands and Heels Apprentice Series handicap over an extended mile, a Class 6 event with 10 runners down to go to post. Now, in apprentice races anyway, you look for primarily the best jockey, first and foremost, and then try and find a horse that matches. That's at least what I do.
True.
And in a Hands and Heels race, that's almost even more important because you can't have a jockey that just reaches for the whip all the time. So, first and foremost, Mick, which are the jockeys that most catch your eye in this one?
Well, I suppose you look at the ones that don't claim first, and that's Rachel Richardson, the only rider in the race that doesn't claim. She rides Hayek for Tim Easterby. Is going to run off a career low mark. Did manage to win going back on these fibre sand at Southwell, but again, back the other way the last three, but is a winner here in the past. So you applying your logic, Alex, he's got to go on the shortlist. Then you've got the up-and-comers, the Nigel Tinkler's book, Chris Meehan, who has been catching the eye of late. He only claims three, along with Anna Hesketh. She claims three, and Luke Ledbetter has got a fair bit of experience. But, I mean, his mount spokesperson's hardly been setting the world alight. I've got three on my shortlist. One of them is The Last Destination, trained by Nigel Tinkler. Chris Meehan, as we said, taking off three. He has won off 64 in the past, this horse, and he can race here off 52. And three of his four career wins have been at stiff tracks, three of them at Beverley, which is a stiff uphill finish like Hamilton, and this is weak. And although he's getting very hard to predict Last Destination, on his best efforts, he would have a big say if he cherry-picked his best. And, you know, even just going back to that second two outings ago at Beverley, would give him a major chance.
Mm.
So he's not out of this Last Destination. Rock Band, trained by Emmett Butterley in Ireland, Gary Mahon taking off three. Still a maiden after 10, but he started his handicapping life in Ireland off a mark in the mid-70s, and he's down to 49 here. And back in Ireland, he finished fourth off a mark of 70 in a competitive Galway handicap in 2012. He's regressed badly since then, admittedly, but his latest effort offers some hope. So he's got to go on the shortlist. He was only beaten two lengths into third at Ayr last month, so he's got to go on the shortlist. But I'm going to give the vote to Paddy's Rock. Should have won here probably over this course and distance in June. And then really caught the eye the other day, just 4 days ago at Beverley, and found plenty late on up the hill, which gives me the hope that this stiff track will suit him again here, where a lot of horses come at the end of the tether up the hill at Hamilton. He looks as though he's just joining in. And his steady improvement has coincided with his stable's fortunes. They had a terrible first half of the year, but going great guns now. And although that £6 penalty for the Beverley win makes things a little bit harder, he was going on strongly at Beverley, and he did run well, as we say, on his only other previous visit here. Of course, and he should have won that day. And that gives me plenty of hope with Rowan Scott able to take off the £5 allowance. And I do think he's got a very solid look about him, Paddy's Rock. And he also gets, just as a little added bonus, the £3 weight for age, the weight for age, the 3 year old's weight for age allowance.
Okay, so Paddy's Rock seems to have a lot going for him.
I think he has. He comes here on the back of a recent confidence boosting win, which most of the others, all of the others, can't boast. So that should count for something in this week contest.
Okay, Paddy's Rock the pick then in the 5.50.
I chose that race particularly because it was named after Bill and David McHarg, both of whom former clerks at the courses of all the Scottish tracks. They were sort of very sort of part of my life in my in my train days from the mid 70s onwards, both Bill and David. So picked that race because it was named after them both.
Very nice. Okay, next up is the 6.20. This is a race over an extended mile and a furlong. 12 runners got to post for this. It's a class 4 event. It's quite a good race, this. One place to start will be Scottish Strand here for James Tate. Now, Kieran Fallon is down to ride two horses at Hamilton on Thursday evening. One of them, Showtime Star, at the time of recording, which is 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, is due to run at Catterick on Wednesday afternoon.
Okay.
So it could be that this would be Kieran Fallon's only mount. Now, whether or not he'd turn up for it is another matter.
I think he would.
But I think he would, and that could be quite important.
Yeah. There's a little proviso, though, Alex. Again, he's another one who gets the three-year-old weight for age allowance.
Mm.
He was well-backed and landed the money on his first start for James Tate. After showing promise last year in his maiden for Ed Walker at Nottingham last June, over a year off, 425 days off before he was well-backed to win and forced last 16 days ago, that means the bounce factor's got to be taken into consideration after only 16 days. But, having said all that, all being well, I think this initial mark of 78 on the evidence of the performance in Forslas may well underestimate him. But you're going to have to just bear that in mind, that he may just bounce after 425 days off the track.
You wouldn't imagine that's going to be a horse that will finish second or third in this race.
No.
It's if you're backing
it's
it, win only.
Nettle's job.
It'll either win or be way out the back. So one to keep an eye on, and keep an eye on the jockey bookings there as well, I'd say.
I agree, and I think he's the most likely winner, all things being equal.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally, he's trained by Alan Bailey. She got due reward for her consistency at Epsom the other day. That was only 2 days ago. But she's going to need that claim of Mikey Ennis's good jockey booking by Alan Bailey to take off the 7, because she has struggled previous scores off marks this high, and also has a big weight. So Mikey Ennis's claim is key to her chances. Alan's got his horses in good nick at the moment. There's no doubt about that. And she comes here on the back of a confidence-boosting win at Epsom 2 days ago. So she's got to be considered. And if Scottish Strand, for one reason or another, didn't perform, I think she'd be the most likely one to pick up the pieces. The other one to consider is another three-year-old trained by Jim Goldie, Jack Garrity. Again, another good five-plum claimer book to ride. Much better at Doncaster last time than he had been in his previous starts this season. Second of 7 behind Pleasant Valley. Up a pound for that. But as we say, Jack Garrity's £5 will help. And a repeat of that Doncaster run would mean he was in the shake-up. Didn't exactly go on after showing promise early in maidens for Carl Burke. Mm. But maybe Jim can work the oracle with him. He's not rock solid by any means, because he might not follow that good run up at Doncaster with another one here, but it was a step back in the right direction. But I think all things being equal, I'll have to stay with Scottish Strand.
Okay, Scottish Strand, the Scottish track, the pick there.
Yeah.
I should just say, I said 12 will go to post. It's 11 as things stand, because Dark Crystal down at the bottom for Linda Perrott is already a non-runner.
Okay.
The final race that we'll look at is the 6.50. It's a handicap over a mile and a half. 8 runners go to post here, an early non-runner, another Linda Perrott horse, Schmooze. She does have another one in, though, in Jeannie Mack. So we've got 8 going to post. Let's hope that they all stay, because there's some each-way value here. And you may need it, because recent form, recent winning form, if you look down the left-hand side there, Mick, not one of these horses has won in their last 6 starts. And that is something that I have... you rarely see it here in a handicap.
Absolutely. At least something usually comes into it with a bit of recent. But I'm going to go for a horse. It's a bit of a left field job, but I touched on it when we were talking about the previous race. Alan Bailey's got his horses in good form, and he runs St. Ignatius in this. He won this race last year from a £3 higher mark, and he was taken out of a race at Epsom on Tuesday, I think ostensibly to wait for this. May have been other factors, might have been ground related or whatever, but I think this looks winnable, doesn't it? And I think that was more difficult. And the booking of Joe Fanning suggests they mean business. And he did win 4 times, this horse, in 2013, including this. And definite signs that all was not lost last time at Wolverhampton. And I like the look of St. Ignatius in that. Triple Eight, trained by Phil Kirby. The last 3 runs on the flat, there's a runover hurdle sprinkled in the middle of that, have been more like it. He's -4 from his last win, so well handicapped. Good claimer booked. Mikey Ennis again taking off the 7, which will reduce the burden from 10 stone to 9-7.
Good jockey, isn't he, on the flat, Mikey?
He is, yeah, very good. Yet to win over this far, 1.5 miles, but looked at Catterick last time as if the trip shouldn't be beyond him. So he goes on the shortlist at 888. And the other one to mention is In Vino Veritas, the 3-year-old trained by Anne Duffield. Gets the £10 weight for age over this trip, and better last time when finishing 3rd with the visor on at Thirsk. And does need to probably build on that if he's going to win it, but it was at least, again, a step in the right direction. But I'm going to go for a repeat in the race with St. Ignatius.
OK, St. Ignatius, the pick, Joe Fanning takes the ride. Just something to note here, Mick. We've spoken that Joe Fanning's been in fantastic form this season, and he has had a fantastic season. 133 winners he's on. How many winners would you say he's had in the last week?
Not many.
One. Really? Just the one off 34 rides. Now, there's excuses for that. Obviously, 2 of those days were spent at York, riding for Mark Johnston, where traditionally doesn't have many winners. But just something to note, because...
He's got a terrible strike rate, Joe. 3%.
That's at York, isn't it? But you know, he has had such a good season, but everyone goes through little lulls every now and again. And he's not riding badly as such, but the ammunition may just not quite be there right now. So
it's bizarre, that York thing, isn't it? Because you would think it would be tailor-made for both Johnson's horses and for Joe. Of course, Joe's only riding what he gets what's on, and the Johnson horses aren't performing there. So that's why. But it's bizarre, isn't it? Yeah, they've got a Goodwood and Ascot and Epsom.
And Mop-Up.
And can't stop winning, can they?
I must stress, this is before racing on Wednesday, so if he rides a treble at Catterick, then discard everything that I said.
Yes, absolutely.
OK, Mick, thanks for your time. Best of luck with those picks on Thursday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.